Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Esther Hernandez. I'm here because of Detective Renato Guevara. He framed my two sons 23 years ago. My boy's been in prison for 23 years. It's been a long road. He's been suffering. It's hard because, you know, it's very easy for them to come and kidnap your kids, but once they're in there, it's so hard for them to come back home. And as a parent, you know, I always used to tell my kids when they were little, I never want to see you in prison, so please don't do the wrong thing, because I would never want to see you. And because I had a brother that was in prison, and I used to take my kids when they were little to visit him, and I remember I used to cry. I used to turn back. He was a Pontiac, and I used to turn back and see my brother, you know, with that sad face, and I used to walk out of there crying. So my thing was, I was always have fear of that, you know, because of the police, because we're brown skin and black skin, and when you walk down the street, they kind of type of spirit, you know, they look at you differently. They want to call you and ask you what are you doing here or whatever, and that was my scary thing, that my voice would be framed by the police. But not even with my boys, I had a run with the police even before with my own brothers. One of my brothers was killed in the police station, and then they said that he hanged himself, but we knew it wasn't true. They killed him, and then they, of course, they hanged him. But so it's been a long ride. And then to have my own kids, my two sons, being arrested for a crime that they didn't commit at the same time, you know, they took them both from me. I had three children. I had my daughter, and she was the youngest. But my boys were a year apart. And so this happened 23 years ago. Back then, I didn't know what to do. I was like, you know, I thought I was the only one going through that, right? They took my kids, and it was hard. I thought it was a nightmare at the beginning, but when I woke up in the morning, it was reality, you know? My boys were taken from me. I want to make the long story short. I had banned one of my boys out because one of my son's trial started before his. And me being ignorant, not knowing, you know, we were paying a lawyer, so I figured, you know, they're going to bring my kids home, right? So when my son's trial started, my youngest son, I asked the lawyer, so what's going to happen? Is my son coming home? And he said, yes, your son is coming home. The witnesses are not here. They're in Mexico. You know, they're not going to be here for the trial. So I said, are you sure? Because if that's the case, I want to, you know, bail out my other son, because his trial will probably be longer, you know? So, you know, I believed the lawyer. Now, we raised money, you know, we struggled to get money to buy my son out, and we did. But when the day of court, the trial started, and we got there, my son was out, my other son was out in bond. I didn't want to go in the courtroom. I was outside the door. I was really just praying. I had my Bible, and I was just so anxious, you know, what's going to happen? My son and the rest of my family, my husband and sister, everybody else was in the courtroom. And it didn't even last, I'm telling you, I don't think it was 20 minutes before they found my son guilty. And when I saw those doors, they slammed open, and it was my other son running out, screaming, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, I passed out, I didn't even know. I came back to mine, they were putting air, they were giving me water and stuff, and we could imagine what my other son was going through, right? I'm next. They found him guilty. It's the same case. I'm next, right? So that's when everything started, you know, our journey, our suffering, you know. At that moment, I felt like everything just turned dark, like a black cloud just came over me. And I was crying and crying. I couldn't stop, you know. I couldn't be alone because being at work was the best thing for me, because I couldn't be at home thinking about them, you know, looking at pictures and stuff. So one day my son was out and this, you know, he went out to the store and he saw this lady standing out with some flyers. She was passing out flyers and my son asked, what is this about? And her name was Blanca Gonzalez. And she was like, oh, you know, we are a committee. We started this committee about wrongful convictions. And my son said, wow, where, when? We're having a meeting tonight. It's gonna be at San Lucas Church, North Avenue, California. And the media will be there. So if you like, come and ask your mom to come and bring pictures. So my son called me, Mama, we gotta go there. So sure enough, yeah, I'm gonna be there. So we showed up, oh my God. When I walked in, I saw all these people with the photos, their loved ones' photos. And I started crying because I thought I was the only one going through that. So I was like kind of released because I said, oh, I got support now. You know, there's people that are going through the same thing, people that will understand what I'm going through, right? Because a lot of people, when you tell them, they don't believe it. They say, oh, if he's in prison, it's for a reason. He must be guilty, right? So anyways, I got there. Oh, my God. And to come to know that is the same cop, Detective Renato Guevara, have framed all these people. And so I started going to the meetings. It was called Comité Sin Justicia. Joe, you know, he was part of it, his wife, and that's how I know Joe and from back then. And so we started going to the meetings, we did rallies, we did everything, you know, trying to bring awareness of this corruption of the cops, Chicago police, because it was not only Guevara, it was the whole, I mean, he could not do it by himself. There was more cops. And if you know about Machonowski, Joseph Machonowski, that's in prison, doing life, well, Guevara was working under him. So, you know, this was a mafia, the police department, the mafia of the police department. But anyways, so I, you know, we continued to do this, but it came to a time where, like, the committee kind of, after years, kind of died off, right? But my sons being in prison, you know, there was a newsletter that the committee was sent out into the prison. So it got spread in all the prisons, so everybody knew about it. So people are calling and they want support, you know, they want legal support, they want to know, they wanted to send their families. And then, sad that the committee died off, right? And we no longer had the committee. So in 2013, my son had called me and he said, Mom, you don't know how many more people are here that are also victims of Guevara. We have to start a new committee. And I said, oh my God, of course. So in 2013, we decided, and it was my son's idea, okay? My son did everything. He would just tell us and we work in this side, you know, so we were back and forth. And it's called Innocent Demand Justice Committee, where we meet every month. So if you, I don't know, some of you might have the flyer, but there's so far 57 victims of Detective Guevara alone. And so also Harvest and Detective Harvest, and they don't mention him, but he was his partner here. And so, so far, you know, if you could see in the back, we still have like, what, 19 people still in prison, you know? We only have like, what now, 6 in the court back that came back in post-convictions. My sons are back into the post-convictions, so we've been going to court. We go back on September 6th. And so I have met with King Fox. I mean, we've been fighting. I mean, we've been doing stuff. I know Mr. Chapman from back then because he will come and support us as well when we had our own committee. And so we kind of team up with them and they come to our court hearings and we go to their court hearings with the torture people like Mark Clemens and all these people and Amanda's son, Gerald Reed. So we working together. We want to unite because it's a people thing, you know? Nobody else is going to do it. I mean, King Fox, we did a fundraiser for her. Our committee did a fundraiser for her, and she made promises. And I met with her like 2 times already. I met with her, and she said, "Oh no, and I know she has done a lot better than the one before her, Anita Alvarez. But it's why is it taking so long? You know, these poor guys are in there suffering in prison for crimes that they didn't commit. My son had 2 strokes already in prison." And he was only 38, Okay, because of the lousy food that they give them, and they don't have, they don't get health care, they don't get nothing. They're just like, my son waited 7 years for them to send him out to the dentist, so he's got gum disease now, you know. So all this stuff because of a corrupted cop that are, there's, he's still out there. He's collecting two pensions, one for the city, the police department, and one for the park district. Because after that, he retired, he worked for the park district, okay? So here I am, you know, suffering, all these families, we're all suffering. Holidays come, birthdays come, and we keep saying, next year, you know, we support each other. My mom, next year we'll be home with you. And I'm like, yeah, next year you'll be home with, and it's sad, you know. The only thing that, I'm telling you, I didn't have a nervous breakdown because I am a Christian woman. I believe that there's a God, and he gave me the strength to go on. And not only that, I felt like if I'm not there for my sons, who's going to be there? Because at the beginning, they have friends coming, families. At the end, it's just me, my husband, my daughter. You know, and maybe sometimes, and my pastor, my brother, and, you know, everybody else just kind of go on their own life, you know, they it doesn't bother them, you know. And so I just wanted to let people know about this Detective Rivera, 57 people that he framed, and he's still out there. The last time I met with Kim Fax, he said, it's just that the post-conviction is not an easy thing. Even though you have affidavits, you still got to go and talk to the people that wrote the affidavits, okay? Well, yeah, okay, so I said, okay, fine. But then on our last court date, we were told that the investigation was over, right? The investigation is over. Why none of these people that gave the affidavits were contacted by the state, okay? So if you're telling me that it takes time because of the post-convictions, then why didn't they get a hold of them and interview them? So it's hard, you know. It's like I said, I always tell my people and I tell the people in the committee, the families, you know, I said, you guys can't just come to a meeting and just forget about your loved ones. You have to fight for them. I'm fighting for my boys. I told them, if I'm the only one here in this meeting, I will be here. And I will go support, like, you know, today there should have been people here with me, but at the last minute, everybody has something else to do. They're not committed. They're not committed. And that's the only way we're going to bring our loved ones home. If we stand, if we push. We have to push. We have to make noise. We have to rally. Our next thing is rally in front of King Fox office. We have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for us, right? So today I'm here to tell you that I am not going to stop fighting for my sons, not only for my sons. I'm fighting for all these guys that are here. We go to support them in the court date. Like when we have six of them that are back in court. So what we do is we go and we support and we fill out that courtroom, because that means a lot. When a judge sees a courtroom full of people, that means a lot. Even the lawyers tell us, you know, they say, you know what? I've already seen, like, wow, 9 people came out of prison of Guevara. We were there. We were supporting. And the lawyers even said it. They go, you know what? Because of your support, this is happening. Because of the people. Not because of the lawyers say, hey, we do our job, but it's not enough. You guys do it, you know. We have to bring awareness for these cops. I mean, Guevara is hiding. Now he's in Texas. So he's trying to jump from city to city just so that nobody knows who he is. But we will expose him. We will make sure that he gets exposed out there. But I just want to tell you that my sons are now they're like 40 and 41 years old. They've been in prison for 23 years. And my goal is to bring my sons home. I just want to read you a little bit about what we do with our committee. And so Innocent Demand Justice was founded to bring awareness of wrongfully convicted and injustice committed by the criminal justice system. We are a diverse group of people that morally support the wrongfully incarcerated and their families. Our mission is to bring awareness to the public in hopes that all individuals who remain incarcerated wrongfully and unjust will be free. And that is our hope. Thank you.